First of all, it's a real pleasure to be here. Just to give you a little bit of a background of who I am, where I hail from. I'm originally from New Orleans in the States. Was a wrestler. I was pretty much, my mother used to tell me I was born a wrestler. I really started wrestling at the age of seven and have been an enthusiast of sport ever since. Had the opportunity and the privilege to compete for the United States, compete in college, compete in high school as well, and really just have had an opportunity throughout my career to be in all facets of sport, whether it's coaching, whether it's being a fan, or whether it's being a sports administrator. I was in the Paralympic movement for 16 years, was the executive director of sport for the International Paralympic Committee, based in Bonn, Germany, where I had the privilege of helping the International Paralympic Committee get on its feet from 1999 until before I came to Glasgow. Gave me great perspective, gave me great opportunities to kind of figure out what I really wanted and how important time, place, and purpose really are in any decisions that we make. And one of the things that was so fantastic about Glasgow was it was a perfect fit for me in terms of time, place, and purpose. The time in terms of where the sport movement or sport was within on a geopolitical and global standpoint. The purpose, really the ambition of Glasgow and Scotland to be bold, to host these great games, but also show what it's all about. Was really, really impressive, and you know, really very much, you know, this city in all its character and all of its distinctiveness, really to me represented an opportunity, a deal that I couldn't pass up. So in 2009, I decided to come, and I came as the director of operations. Within about 6 months, I was thrown into the role of chief operating officer. And then last year, I was put into the role of chief executive. And this is a role that has tremendous amount of really influence, which comes with an enormous amount of responsibility with it. What I want to show you tonight is a little bit on what Glasgow 2014 really represents, why the ambitions of the original concept around the bid are still alive and well and are really important in everything that we do in terms of our cost consciousness, in terms of our legacy consciousness, and also just hosting a fantastic, wonderful event here in Glasgow. I prepared a formal presentation, started to put one day closer in every single presentation because we're very, very much only a few days really away from the Olympics, which really will mark a significant tipping point in terms of, well, it's really straight into Glasgow after that major event. So this is a defining moment, and our aim as Glasgow 2014 is to deliver these games which are athlete-centered and sport-focused. And that's those ideals are very, very important in everything that we do. It's also an event where we want it to be celebrated throughout the Commonwealth and leave a lasting legacy for Glasgow and Scotland. That is our vision, very simply. In terms of our mission, we want to be on time and on budget. And that's very, very important when 80% of what we're entrusted with is Scottish taxpayer money. We're going to be welcoming some of the Commonwealth's greatest athletes, and we know that there'll be scores to be settled from London 2012, no doubt. So we'll have those aspiring athletes, and in some case, retiring athletes that will be coming to Glasgow. And really, we've been working with BBC, for example, to start painting that journey from London 2012 for both the Olympics and the Paralympics into Glasgow 2014. The athletes will be very much at the heart of our games, competing in 17 different sports for both team glory and national pride. And I think one of the greatest aspects about the Commonwealth Games, which you'll know, many of you will know already, is that these are the multi-sport games that Scotland competes in their own right. Scottish athletes compete in their own right, and that's very distinct and very important. So let's set the scene. Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games will be a once in a generation, if not a once in a lifetime event here in Glasgow in Scotland. From the 23rd of July to 3rd of August, the stage will be set for 11 days of sporting competition as the best athletes of the Commonwealth head for medal glory. The Games will enjoy Scotland's biggest ever television audience, with it's estimated at 1.5 billion viewers. 1 million tickets will be available, the largest spectacle in Glasgow's living memory. 15,000 volunteers will be required, 13,000 contractors, 1,044 staff, and I can tell you, going from a staff of 29 people this time last year to a staff of 160, that changes the culture of your organization, and it is something, it has its own challenges, but it also has its own opportunities as well. $1 billion worth of infrastructure projects will be delivered as a result of the Games, and you're already starting to see a lot of that delivered well before the Games. So the Games are really a vehicle that brings things forward, and not just for the Games. I think that's one of the wonderful aspects of major events, is that things can be brought forward by an event, not necessarily for the event. 6,500 athletes and team officials and 2,500 journalists. And really, to put this bluntly, this will be a defining moment, not only for Glasgow, not only for Scotland, but also for the Commonwealth. It's a journey to, during, and after that's important. And I'll get into more detail about how we're thinking about the legacy now and why the important, while thinking about and actually actioning the legacy now is an important part to the success of the Games for the long term. So 13 of our 17 sports will enjoy their profile raised as part of the London 2012 Games, including athletics, aquatics, cycling as examples. And we expect many of the stars of London 2012 will compete in Glasgow. And we're not being passive in terms of just waiting for athletes to express interest. We are actively engaging sports as well as athletes individually to act as ambassadors, not only for Glasgow, but for also the Commonwealth Games in general, to show that these games are relevant and important within the international sports calendar. So sports unique to the Commonwealth Games include rugby sevens, that's up until their Olympic premiere in Rio in 2016, lawn bowls, squash, and netball. And there's also the integration of, and this is actually wrong, there should be five para sports. That's athletics, swimming, cycling, weightlifting, and lawn bowls. We have made a very conscious strategic decision to have the largest para sport program of any Commonwealth Games. We'll have 22 events over those five sports for the Commonwealth Games, full medal status and full inclusion within their teams. So it is a very distinct and unique event in that respect. My first Commonwealth Games was in 2002 in Manchester, where we did this for the first time, and it has been incorporated as really a distinguishing factor of the Commonwealth Games in terms of that integrated, inclusive approach ever since then, and it's really a fantastic aspect of showcasing all aspects of sport. Give you an idea of the project scale. These are some statistics or some numbers. And you can see from these figures the sheer scale of the event, and this gives you an idea of really from a project planning standpoint, from a project management standpoint, and the delivery impact that these games has. It's no small undertaking. However, to put things in perspective, this £524 million of our budget, which includes a healthy contingency, is, if you look at in comparison to the Olympics, $560 million is what it costs to build the Olympic Stadium. So the money that we've been entrusted with needs to be spent wisely. We need to draw the pound out further in order to deliver a fantastic event. So, started to whet your palate in terms of creating excitement. Really, what's important about Glasgow 2014 and our success, it's about getting people engaged and excited about the games. We've been just having a conversation before coming in here. We've been very, very subtle over the past couple of years in terms of our outward-facing approach, really building confidence in terms of the foundation of the organizing committee, the purpose, justifying the games, and so forth. Once the games in London move on, we will start to sell the experience, start to tell people about the actual experience you can expect in the lead-up to and during Glasgow 2014. So to start painting that picture, it will be the biggest party Glasgow has ever hosted. The streets will be buzzing with visitors, bringing businesses to pubs, bars, hotels, and restaurants. And for people living here, it is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to get involved. So what is the Commonwealth Games? This may sound very strange coming from an American. We could have been in the Commonwealth, but we decided to have a tea party instead. So it is an international multi-sport event involving athletes from across the Commonwealth. Glasgow was chosen by 71 other nations and territories to host the Games, and to be quite honest, Glasgow should be really, really proud of that. By their nature, the Commonwealth Games travel from city to city, so it's the host nation, the host country, and that distinct personality, culture, and symbols that define the Games from the next. The first event was held in 1930 in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and since then it's taken place every 4 years, and was originally coined as the British Empire Games. The Games are overseen by what's called the Commonwealth Games Federation, who are the Games owner, and they're based in London, which also controls the sporting program and selects the host cities. To date, 18 cities and 7 countries have hosted the event. Scotland has already hosted twice, both times at Edinburgh. So this is an event that has tradition, history, and heritage. There are many similarities with each Games, but the same great competition, the same high standard of elite athletes, and the same coming together of the Commonwealth is what we can expect. But there is also a unique element, and that is, as I've said, the host city and the host nation. Thanks, John. For Glasgow and Scotland, that means it's simply its moment to shine on the global stage. I think one of the other aspects, but I think it's quite evident during the Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebrations that the Commonwealth is very much relevant, alive, and vibrant. One of the really, I think, distinct opportunities we have today, Glasgow has in particular, and wider Scotland, is to really showcase this notion of Commonwealth citizenship. Whether it's this notion of the recognition and association with the British royal family, nations that have a common tradition, heritage, and history, or a union of nations bound with their diversity that all are seeking peace, prosperity, and democracy, those elements are quite relevant in today's world. And that commonality in terms of language makes things a lot easier. If I guarantee, if I were, as you, as Commonwealth citizens, if I were to ask each of you what it means to be a Commonwealth citizen, I guarantee I'd get a different answer from each of you. So this is our chance, as Glasgow, as Scotland, to showcase what this means. Is it welcominess? Is it the hospitality? Is it sharing? Is it putting on a good show? There's a real opportunity to really define what that means today and really showcase it and pass it on to the rest of the Commonwealth. And the Games, both the sporting spectacles as well as the cultural spectacles, are an ideal opportunity to share that. So at this point in time to celebrate, it's also a time to shine. 72% of Scots are pleased the Games are taking place in Scotland. 85% of Glasgow residents believe the Games will have a positive effect on the city. And to give you some other aspects of how the city's being transformed, there's nothing greater than to showcase some of the landmarks and also some of the venues and infrastructure projects. One of the reasons that Glasgow was awarded the Games was that 70% of the venues were already in situ. However, that doesn't mean that Glasgow could rest on its laurels. And that means 30% needed to be built. One of the emerging venues, which is due to open in October this year, is the Commonwealth Arena in the east end of Glasgow. And this will become a true legacy of Glasgow and Scotland, acting as the principal indoor sporting events venue for high-performance athlete training and world-class competition. And it's truly a versatile multi-sport venue. This venue will have the flexibility to host 5,000 spectators and will be linked to the Sir Chris Hoy Velodrome, which will host 2,000 spectators, 4,000 during games time. The Velodrome, which is named after Scotland's most successful gold medal winning Olympian and Commonwealth Games champion, Sir Chris Hoy, the Velodrome will also become a key legacy for Glasgow and Scotland, being suitable for community activity, high-performance athlete training, as well as world-class competition. And it really, this venue, the fact that it's being delivered so early, 2 years before the Games, and already has six major events between October and January, and a slew of other events, including the 2013 UCI, that's International Cycling Union World Junior Championships, being held at the Velodrome, as well as a number of community groups doing their active programming, Glasgow Club doing their active programming, Glasgow Life's Sport Department setting up their headquarters there, and three other Scottish national governing bodies of sport moving from Edinburgh over to this facility. This venue is already representative of legacy starting now. And I think that that's an incredibly important highlight, that legacy has not been an afterthought. So the forefathers of the original bid and the planning for this this venue really had the vision and had the ambition to really deliver something that was going to be meaningful both for the community but also drive events and activity through it for many, many years to come. And if you haven't been out to it, it's a truly extraordinary extraordinary, piece of art, if you will, but also just really, I think, an iconic landmark it will become. Hampden Park will host the athletics competition and closing ceremony. Glasgow 2014 will be doing something quite pioneering. We'll be transforming the stadium from a football pitch to an athletics or track and field of play. And essentially, how we're doing this is by using an innovative build technique that uses, we're looking at two options right now, either solid fill or platforming to raise the pitch by 1.9 meters in order to get the space requirements that we need. And then the track will be laid on top. And this creates great spectator sight lines. It also creates a sustainable solution. Rather than just building an athletic stadium with the necessary capacity, we are finding a temporary solution using an existing stadium, an iconic stadium, to find a sustainable solution. And so from that perspective, this is a pioneering technique that the International Amateur Athletics Federation is quite keen on observing and also highlighting, once successful, that this is the way to have sustainable athletics events around the world. Again, something that can be exported from Glasgow and leaves a legacy not only for this city, but also for the world of athletics. I think John's going to cover the SCCC and the activity, but this is going to be a major hub for what we're doing. We have six sports that will be hosted here on the SCCC premises, and of course using the new beautiful Hydro Arena. We also will have the International Broadcast Center and the main press center, and we'll be using the Crown Plaza just right over the road for our main media hotel as well. So this will be a real hub of activity on the banks of the Clyde. Ceremonies. So two existing venues will host the opening and closing ceremonies, with Celtic Park and Hampden. The opening and closing ceremonies of the Games offer a global opportunity to promote both Glasgow, Scotland, and the wider Commonwealth. And it's an outstanding opportunity for us to position Glasgow as a real hub for sporting, business, and tourism. A glittering and creative spectacle, the opening ceremony will feature highlights, including the arrival of the head of the Commonwealth by Her Majesty, the Parade of Nations, where Glasgow officially welcomes the Commonwealth nations to the Games, and that's the Parade of the Athletes, and the epic end of the Queen's Baton Relay, which will tour every participating nation. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next slide. The closing ceremony gives Glasgow a host city and Scotland a host, as a host nation, the opportunity to really leave a lasting mark, a leaving, and also thank the people of Glasgow and the people of Scotland for doing such a great job, and also to recognize all those important people who volunteered and have really put up with so much during this journey. But it's also a great opportunity to pass the baton, and that's passing the baton on to Gold Coast in 2018. So as we start to ramp up for the Games, and really commencing in 2013, we have the Queen's Baton Relay. And the Queen's Baton Relay, similar to the Olympic torch, will be handed in a relay fashion, starting from either Holyrood Palace or from Buckingham Palace, to be determined. It will travel the 71 nations and territories of the Commonwealth, promoting Glasgow, Scotland, and the Games to a third of the world's population. It will also travel to all 32 local authorities and areas within Scotland. And we're already starting to map the route and spend approximately 40 days en route at the very lead up to the Games here in Scotland. Pacific Islands have national holidays. Prime ministers, royalty, and premiers welcome the baton on their shores. And Glasgow, the final destination, will celebrate the baton's arrival at the start of our opening ceremony. We also have the cultural program. And that's because the Games are a celebration, a festival. And we will have a cultural program of events, live entertainment, and street theater happening all around Glasgow and in many cities around Scotland. We're working with both Glasgow Life, who will be organizing the cultural program here in Glasgow. One of the great things is that three of the major festivals that Glasgow already hosts will coincide with the Commonwealth Games, so giving us plenty of content from the creative community. And we're working very closely with Creative Scotland in terms of reaching out to the wider Scottish cities. Excuse me. Volunteering. There will also be an opportunity to get involved by volunteering. And for previous Games, we know that really volunteers are the heartbeat of a successful event. They are the welcoming faces, the helpful guides, and the behind-the-scenes heroes that make for a seamless and enjoyable and welcoming event. And this is an absolutely critical element, really, to the success. This is where Glasgow gets to showcase who it is, what it's about, by really being the most important, really most important people in the Games. Those are the people who actually get to serve the clients, get to serve the fans, get to serve the dignitaries and the athletes. And the investment in those people is absolutely critical and at the really top of our birthday cake in terms of what we want to be memorable about our Games. Sport, city, volunteers. Those are the three points that we really want people to remember about these great Games. So what comes after the Games will be even more important to Glasgow. The Games are almost secondary to really the ambitions that were behind this venture. And really, it's more important to Glasgow than being in history books as the Glasgow 2014 host city. What will be the impact and benefits to the city as a whole and to the people that contribute to making this event and this place a world-class theater of a global stage? So some of the areas that we are looking at very closely is really improve the image of Glasgow in Scotland, provide jobs, better housing and regeneration. And really, it's about leaving real and lasting positive change and giving genuine prosperity and well-being of the people of Glasgow and Scotland. Now, really, this has really been outlined and is constantly being evaluated by both Glasgow City Council and the Scottish Government, who have put together 10-year legacy frameworks, which they are measuring various activities and have been supporting a lot of our activity, the success of the Games around. The Games are in the middle of that 10-year plan. But comparatively speaking, in comparison to many, many other events, that was a forethought and not an afterthought. It wasn't, we got the Games, now what do we do about legacy? It was, we need the Games to achieve this. And that in itself is something that is exemplar in comparison to many, many bidding cities about what a Games can really do in terms of being transformative and regenerative in so many ways. To give you some ideas, it's estimated that 21,000 jobs will have been created around into the lead up of the Games. Some sustained, some are just for the Games period. But it's still 21,000 jobs, skills acquisition, and experience, world-class experience that Glasgow is getting. 15,000 Commonwealth apprentices will be activated in the lead-up to the Games, and we have four Commonwealth apprentices on board at Glasgow 2014. There's been a number of Commonwealth apprentices associated with venue builds, so it really varies. But there's so many people who are activating, or so many organizations that are activating apprentices, Commonwealth apprentices, to either benefit the Games directly or indirectly. And $158 million is expected to be generated just from the Games themselves during the Games time period. In terms of our commercial approach and our sponsorship program, so I mentioned that 80% of our budget is from the Scottish Government and from Glasgow City Council, so taxpayers' funds. That still leaves a significant amount of money for us to raise in terms of our commercial program. What our commercial program encompasses is, of course, sponsorship revenue, ticketing, international broadcast rights, merchandising, and licensing. And those are really our primary pillars. One of the important things that we have decided is that our sponsorship offer really is more than just your typical, these are our Games assets and we're going to sell them to you. What we have started to do is to say, these are your corporate social responsibility opportunities, here's our community engagement opportunities, here are our hero opportunities, and by the way, we have some great Games assets as well. And by the way, this is for the long term. This is also working very closely with a number of our partners. This is about bringing companies that want a longer term relationship, not only with the Commonwealth Games, but also with Glasgow, to be partners with us for the broader ambition. And that has been, for a number of corporate partners, has really, really resonated. And so we've started to take that offering, so to speak, on the road. One of the great things is that we have four sponsors on board to date: Ernst & Young, Search, Harper McLeod, and Atos. Those four sponsors were really at the right time in terms of our organizational development, in terms of the services that we required, in terms of recruitment, in terms of legal services, in terms of professional services, and the establishment of our Games information management systems. And we have more sponsors in the next few weeks that we look forward to announcing, even some tier ones. So we're very excited about that. The next slide talks about business engagement. And there's a number of elements that are absolutely critical. In line with the commercial program aspects, you know, in terms of merchandising, in terms of ticketing, in terms of those various aspects, there's a plenty of opportunity for business to get involved in terms of not just going for business, but preparing and being business ready. We're working very closely with the Group of Six to really establish ways of engaging small businesses to either be primary contractors or coming together in consortiums to be primary contractors or to be secondary contractors or